or we go and we have a plan to go do something, we get in our own way because it's our plan, not God's plan. We think that we know so much more, so much better than God. We think that we have these abilities that God's gifted us with, but for some reason our abilities now surpass who God is. Because he gifted us with these abilities, we don't have to rely on God any longer. We can do our own thing. We can go to Guatemala, get on these planes, and say, you know what, I'm going to go on this mission trip because I know people in Guatemala. I set all this up because I planned all this. I made all the connections. I made the budget. I. We do that with this mission that God's given us. You know, I heard a pastor one time say, yeah, I've baptized so many and I've led so many to Christ, and all that sounds well and good, and those are all great things. We forget that it was nothing that we did. We forget that it was not anything about us. These people came in Jesus. They came in Jesus because they saw Jesus in us, yes, but it's nothing about us. Nothing that we had to offer God is anything but filthy rags. But he continues to use us always. And in using us, sometimes we forget that it was never, ever us. You know, I preached a couple months ago, and I talked about, you know, this writing the curriculum for camp, and how I felt so good about myself. I felt, man, I'm writing this curriculum. I'm killing it. I'm doing all this book work, and I'm getting all the small groups and the quiet times together. I'm just doing good. I'm the man. I'm so intelligent. And God said, hey, stupid, I wrote that. You're just a vessel. Yeah, your pen moved. And you put it to the paper, but it came from nobody but me. And I said, you're right. I almost forgot. And I almost forgot. I did forget because I was feeling so good about myself. And I was like ready to tell everybody, man, look at this. Check this out. Look at this curriculum. It's so good. But it came from God. It came from God. And we forget that sometimes. We forget sometimes our mission. Not only do we forget sometimes our mission, we think that the mission that's being accomplished has anything to do with us. Yes, you are the vessel. God's going to use you. He's going to make a way for you to be a conduit for what he wants to do. But it is nothing of our own doing. And when we do our own doing, we mess things up pretty bad. If you've never seen the Marvel series, Thor is an Asgardian who is from Asgard. He's the god of thunder. And so Thor is part of the Avengers, and he's the strongest Avenger. And what happens is, in a movie prior to this, the Infinity War, is Thanos, who's this purple gentleman you see on the screen, he kills Loki, who is Thor's brother. He kills Loki while they're on Asgard, and Thor says to Thanos, you're going to die for that. This is early in this movie, right? And so he does that, and so the rest of this movie, Thor spends the rest of his time trying to kill Thanos because Thanos killed his brother. And so he's doing all these things. He's doing all these things under his own power, right? So he meets up with the Guardians of the Galaxy. They go to Mordor and they get their they go get a new axe, even a new hammer for him called Stormbreaker. If you know anything about Thor, you know that he has this other hammer called Mjolnir, and this one was given to him, powers given to him by his father and blessed by the gods, right? So this is an immense power. Stormbreaker was one he made by himself, basically. He used his own strength, his own power, his own doing to make this weapon to go defeat Thanos with. I want you to key in on that and keep in on that. So as Thor arrives in Wakanda, you think, oh, he's supposed to do that. It's so heroic. He jumps in and he saves all the Wakandans and all the other Avengers who were there. But if you listen and you really, really pay attention, he does not care that he saved these people. He does not care that he's come and he stopped the evil from hurting these people. He says one thing, bring me Thanos. Not I'm here to save you guys. I'm here under the power of my gods. What he says is, bring me Thanos. Thor had one thing on his mind to finish the mission. That was to kill Thanos. And though that was the mission, the mission is to stop evil. That is the mission. The way he went about it and the way he was doing it and the reason why he was doing it was not for a righteous reason. And because of that, he went in half-cocked. He went in with a halfway plan. And by doing so, he put everybody in danger because he went in and just kind of swinging his axe, throwing it around, and he's like, just bring me Thanos. He's not worried about all these Chitauri, which are those aliens that they were fighting. He wasn't worried about any of them. He's not worried about any of the Avengers. The only thing he sees is, I got to kill Thanos because he killed my brother. And of course, he kills Thanos, or he thinks he kills Thanos after he throws the Stormbreaker into his chest. He says, you die for that. And of course, Thanos whispers, he should have gone for the head, and he snaps. If you know what the snap means, the snap means that now half of humanity is dead, gone. Because of Thor's recklessness, it looks like he accomplished the goal and the mission, but instead what he did was he condemned half of humanity to death because he was going on his own power, his own plan, and his own desires. A lot of times we do that. A lot of times we're just like that. If you have your Bibles with you, if you will turn to Luke chapter 18. This is starting in verse 9. It says this: to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this to people, told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. If you don't know, Pharisees are the people of God who are Bible scholars, who know, have the most Bible knowledge. Tax collectors are seen as the most evil people because they were taking people's money and they were dishonest and they were basically thieves. So a Pharisee and tax collector, righteous man and unrighteous man, go up there. The Pharisee stood by himself and he prayed, God, thank you that I'm not like other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. And I'm sure that Pharisee thought that was the best prayer he's ever prayed in his life. He felt like a righteous man. He felt like, yeah, that was good. That's what I did. But the tax collector stood a distance off. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his chest and said, God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. And Jesus goes and say, I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. A lot of times we're like that tax collector, like that Pharisee. And Thor was just like that Pharisee. I'm Thor, the God of Thunder. I'm going to defeat Thanos because I am the best, the strongest. I am the one that you all should be looking at towards. So when Thor goes in, of course, he arrives in this grandiose fashion. He says, ha, Thor's here. Don't worry. The day is saved. You all get behind me. I got this. Even when he goes up to fight Thanos, he's going in there very, very arrogant, not worrying about any kind of safety of anybody else. In fact, because of his arrogance, Vision even dies, and Vision gets his stone taken out of his head, and that's where you see Thanos with that last stone in his hand. And even when he goes to see and fight Thanos, he throws his Stormbreaker, and he kills him. He says, ha, see, I told you. You die for that. And he's thinking to himself, I told everyone what was going to happen. Look at me, Marvel. I am Thor. I've killed Thanos. And instead, what he did was he condemned the rest of the world because of the snap. Because he went in there half-cocked with a halfway plan instead of the plan that God had given him and the plan that God is supposed to be giving us. Likewise, we do the same thing. Look at me, what I've planned, what I've done. Look at this program I started. Look at all these people that have come to worship me. You're like, Pastor Savage, I don't do that. That's not what I do. Well, we all do it. Look at what I've built. You know, I work for John 3:16, and the first thing people want to know about is, well, how many kids you got? How many kids are coming? And you'll tell them that number, and if you know most pastors, we inflate that number just a little bit. So if it's 50, it's definitely 55, okay? So, or if it's 60, it's definitely 70. But we tell them this number, and that's a measure of how well you're doing, right? And so we want this number to be huge. So we say, look at me. Look how big this church is. Look how big my youth group is. Look how big this program is that I've started. I've done this. I've done that. And I've got so much stuff going on. We're doing all these things in the community. Look at us. Look how great we're doing. We're doing it. We're killing it. Nobody's doing it like us. But the issue is, that's not what God says. God says to humble yourself. And those who humble themselves before the Lord are the ones who are blessed. Because when we really think about it, there's nothing that we've done. Any money that we've used to do that comes from the Lord. Any ability that we've used to make that happen came from God first. Any idea that ever came into your head, any thought, came from the Holy Spirit. None of us in here are smart enough, good enough, or have enough money to do the things that God can do. Only but what he gives us. Only but what he gives us. See, when Thor went on that plan half-cocked, he forgot that all those abilities he possessed came from a blessing that was prayed over him a long time ago. And he lost sight of the vision, lost sight of the mission. He lost sight of who he was and who he was supposed to be. A lot of times we do that as Christians. Even when we do things that are good. This tax collector was praying. God calls us to pray. We're supposed to pray. As a matter of fact, that's the foundation where we're supposed to start with anything is prayer. But when you pray in the way that he did, it's tainted, messed up. Even that prayer that he prayed was one that was not pleasing to God because it was nothing but about himself and how good he was and how good he looked and how good he could be. Whereas whenever the tax collector came in humbly, knowing that, like I said earlier, all he has to offer to the Lord is filthy rags, the Lord said, hey, you're humble. You're blessed. Thank you for humbling yourself and knowing who you are and who I am. When this mission that I'm talking about of spreading the gospel and telling people about Jesus, we have to remember to be like that tax collector. Because when we go talk to people about Jesus, nobody wants to hear how righteous we are and how righteous they're not. Nobody's going to ever hear you if you talk like that. Nobody's ever going to hear you if you put yourself here and put them here. Because that's not where the Bible puts us. As a matter of fact, the Bible puts us all right here. No one here, all right here. No one here, we're all right here. We'll talk about that later here in a minute, but the Bible puts us all right there. And when you go to connect with people, you have to say, hey, I'm no more righteous than you. I'm just another beggar who's telling another beggar where to get food. I know where it's at. I'm going to show you to it. I can't make you eat it, but I'm going to show you to it. I'm not giving you this food because it doesn't come from me. I'm not saying, hey, you better be nice to me. I'm not going to give you this bread. That's not the way it works. I'm saying, hey, here's this bread. Somebody showed me where the bread was too. Whether I like you or not, here's where the bread is. That's got to be our mentality. That's got to be on our mind. We got to remember with the plan that we got to follow God's plan, not our own, but God's. I want to remind you guys that we don't fight this battle alone. We do not fight this battle by ourselves. The mission that we've been called to is not just you. There's a mission by yourself. You don't have to save the world by yourself. You have a team of Avengers around you who love Jesus just like you do. And if we allow them to, and if we remember that and we are relying on each other, we can be just like the Avengers. Do we have superpowers like flight and stuff like that? No. But we do have a superpower called the Holy Spirit, Christ in us, Jesus in us. And we use that power to fight the evil one and darkness. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says this. In verse 12, just the body, the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, and as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. You don't have to be the hero. I used watching NBA basketball, especially the Thunder, whenever you used to have, Russ and KD on it. I used to love watching those guys play. But their biggest downfall in the finals and most times is because they play what we call hero ball. They would get down by maybe, a few points and be towards the end of the game. And they all thought, well, I got to be the one to save the day. So I'm going to take the shot. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And almost every single time, it cost them the basketball game. Because they thought, I got to be the man to do this. I got to be the person to make this happen. The fact of the matter is, God says that there's many members, and every member plays their part. Being a youth pastor for almost 10 years now, well, I guess 10 years now, actually, 10 years this month, I've learned that, yes, being a leader is one thing, but it takes every single person to make stuff happen. The youth group is not successful because of Virgil Savage. Youth group is successful because, number one, of God, but of the many members that make it up. Likewise, New Joy Fellowship would not be successful because of Richard Forney. It's going to be successful because we, as the members, are here doing the work that God's called us to do, and we're all doing the same work together. Likewise, the entirety of Christianity were not successful because of people like Billy Graham or whoever else is bringing people to Christ. The entirety of Christianity is going to be successful because we as a body are working together to tell people about Jesus. That's what we're going to be successful. It has nothing to do with one person, but of many working together as one to create one person and to create a success for this goal, which is to tell people about Jesus and lead them away from darkness. The last thing, and here's kind of where I'll close and get these last few things. In Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. We as Christians, the only way to accomplish this goal, the only way to accomplish the mission that God's given us, is to sacrifice it all. I'm going to skip the last video for time's sake, but what happens in this last video is the Avengers are still wrestling with Thanos, trying to save the world. Iron Man has made a special glove that can hold all the Infinity Stones. Right as Thanos is about to snap his fingers one more time to condemn the world, Iron Man makes the ultimate sacrifice. He grabs all the stones, snaps his fingers, and sends the T'Chari to death. It does, in fact, though, also take his own life. So Iron Man gives his life so that the whole world could be saved. That's what Jesus had to do. Jesus had to give his life so the whole world could be saved. And likewise, what he's asking for us to do is to give our lives so the whole world can be saved. Like, so I got to die for the whole world to be saved? Yes, you do. Mortally, no. I'm talking about you have to die to yourself every single day. Die to your own selfish desires, your own ways, your own thoughts, your own wants. Get to die to those every single day. So yes, that the whole world can be saved. Not through you, through Jesus Christ, through you. So many times we're so gung-ho about, I love Jesus, and I want to serve Jesus, and I'm going to serve with all I've got. But don't you ask me to go in that nursery. Don't you ask me to go back to work with them kids. Don't you ask me to sweep this floor. Don't you ask me to wash these dishes. Don't you ask me to cook this food. Don't you ask me to go over to East Central Village and serve for a Saturday because I have my own stuff I want to do. So we're all about it. I love you, I love you, I love you. But how much do you love him if you're not willing to give up just a little bit? You know what? I'm not going to get that extra meal out this week. I'm going to use that to my part of my tithe. You know what? I'm not going to be selfish about what I want to do this weekend. I'm going to give this weekend away to go serve. Maybe at John 3:16 shelter. You know what? I'm retired. I want to do my own stuff. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go down to John 3:16 FYC and serve in the food room. Teach chapel, sort some food, love on some people, pray for some people. You know, this Saturday coming up is Mission Market. First Saturday of every month is Mission Market. You go over to John 3:16 and serve in the food room and pray for people as they shop. It's going to be a car wash for Guatemala fundraiser. You can go pay $5 to some students, have them wash your car to help them get to Guatemala. New Joy Fellowship is going to start youth program back up. You could drop off a box of chips for snacks for the kids. There's so many things that we could sacrifice. There's so many things that we could do, but we're unwilling to because that doesn't fit my mold, doesn't fit my plans, doesn't fit my desires. I'm uncomfortable with that. I tell my students all the time, get comfortable being uncomfortable. Get comfortable being uncomfortable because God's going to call us to do some uncomfortable things for the gospel. When he calls us to do those, we have to get uncomfortable. And then once you get comfortable again, get uncomfortable again. Because that's the only way you're going to be able to move and shake and grow. Because if you do the same thing over and over and over again, you will not grow. You're going to stay right where you're at. Mr. Charles helps us at the FYC, and we do gardening. With the gardening things, these plants have to be manipulated sometimes to grow the right way. For instance, a tomato plant has to be tied to a rod or a cage. And if a tomato plant had feelings, I'm sure they would not like being tied to this rod in this cage. But guess what? By tying it to that rod in that cage, it gives it the support it needs to grow. May not like it, but it grows. It does grow, but then it bears fruit, these tomatoes that are good, and it continues to bear fruit because it's tied to this cage. You don't tie it to a cage, it falls over. It may bear a little bit of fruit, but then it dies and withers out. God will call you to be tied to cages metaphorically, as far as being uncomfortable a lot of times. I don't want to go do this job anymore. That's uncomfortable. Guess what? I need you there to tell people about Jesus. I don't want to go over there. I don't like doing that. Well, guess what? There's people ready to hear about Jesus. So it's not about you or your plan. It's about his plan. I don't want to move to Tulsa and give up my job and all of the stuff I know for the last 11 years. Well, guess what, Virgil Savage, you're going to have to. And when I did, there was something way better waiting for me on this side. When I moved to Tulsa, there was a wife, a fantastic job, a fantastic ministry here at New Joy Fellowship. This is not my plan. This is God's plan, and it's no better plan I could have in my life than what God gave me. Likewise for you, there's no better plan than to follow the plan God's given us. I told you we're going to answer some questions. We're going to answer these five questions at the end real quick. We're going to answer the who, what, where, when, how, and why. And we're going to do those with a simple acronym. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write down the side of your paper or across the top of your paper, however you want to write it, or in your phone, the word START. S-T-A-R-T. This is going to serve as an acronym for us to be able to use each one of these first letters as what God's called us to do, to be true disciples and to be those who really follow his plan. We're going to use the word start. We're going to start with the S. And the S is to stop. Stop trusting in yourself and anything else for your salvation. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says this, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So it's by grace you've been saved, so that no man can boast. Well, I said earlier, I love that we're all here. Everybody's here on the same level. Nobody's here, nobody's here, we're all right here. Because God said that even you who think that you've done great works are the same as those who you think have done terrible works. Like that Pharisee in the temple that was praying, "I'm so glad I'm not an evildoer and I'm not a thief and I'm not a dirty person like this guy over here." But God would tell him, "Hey, that evildoer is your tall evildoer. You're along with him. You're in the same boat. You're in the same cage. You're on the same path as him if it weren't for me. So all the good you think you're doing that outweighs the bad, get rid of it, because it means nothing. Like I said, nothing but filthy rags." When we all realize that we're all on the same level playing field, it changes your mindset and the mission that God's called you to do. Because if I'm bad, you're bad, we're bad, but I know where to not be bad, I got to tell you where not to be bad is at. And that's with Jesus Christ. Not because now that I'm with Jesus Christ, I'm not bad all of a sudden. I'm still unrighteous. There's still nothing clean about me except for that the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. So when I think about it like that, it's like, hey, I'm not telling you how to live your life. I'm not telling you that I'm better than you or that I've found this magic holy grail, but I am telling you I found something that's better for your life. I am telling you I found something that's going to help you and heal you, because it's helped and healed me. Not because, like you said, or like Pastor Forney said earlier, not because do as I say, not do as I do. I'm telling you do as I do because I've been through it. I want you to experience it also, because we're both right here. We're both sinners in the hand of an angry God. We both need salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. So we're on the same plane. So stop. Stop trying to think that it's you and what you're doing for your own salvation. The T, we need to turn. Turn away from all things that God calls wickedness or unrighteousness. So again, turn away from all things that God calls wickedness or unrighteousness. 2 Timothy 2:19 says this, "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness." Turning away from wickedness and evil does two things. Number one, it keeps our mind clear on the mission. I can't have my mind clear on the mission if I'm worried about these evil, dirty things that I'm doing over here. Because, see, these evil 30 things will cloud my judgment and my thoughts about the mission. Thor had a mission, and he knew what the mission was, but his thoughts were clouded because of his need for retribution, for his need to get his get back. His anger, his rage all clouded his judgment. And because he did that, he condemned the rest of the world because he followed his own path. We turn away from all things that are wicked and vile. All of a sudden, our thinking is a lot more clear, and we can see that God's path and his plan for life so much clearer. It also does this. It clears up us and our testimony and our witness to tell people more about Jesus. because you can't tell somebody about Jesus if you're actively doing these wicked things. I'm not saying you have to be perfect, but I am saying this, that if you don't think that this is wicked over here, what you're doing, and you're trying to tell somebody about Jesus, when this is revealed in your life, they're going to say, well, you do this over here, so how can you tell me about Jesus? How can you tell me how to be righteous when you're unrighteous yourself? That's where you can say, I'm not righteous, and there's things that I do in my life that are evil, and I'm working on turning away from those. But you have to humble yourself enough in that moment to say, you know what? You're right. I am unrighteous. But just like you and me are unrighteous together, we can both go and get clean together with Jesus Christ. So turn away from all things that God calls wickedness, because it does clear up stuff. This third one is so important, especially when we saw with COVID, and that is to attend. The A is to attend. We do not want to forsake the attending together. In Hebrews 10, starting in verse 24, it says this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day is approaching. Like I said, the body is made of many members. If it was only one Avenger that had to save the world, they would not save the world. They would have lost to Thanos one-on-one. But because there are many members and they did not forsake assembling together. As a matter of fact, my favorite line from the movie, because it's a line from the comics, is where Captain America says, Avengers assemble. They didn't forsake that. They said, you know what, we are going to assemble. We're going to defeat the entire evilness of this world together. And so what I've learned from COVID is we cannot forsake the gathering together. This morning I was smoking chicken. I was joking with Pops that, last week I was, as we churched over, Nana walked up, she goes, so what you smoking? I said, what? Come again? She said, what are you smoking? I said, am I acting funny? She goes, like, what are you smoking for the meal next week? Oh, chicken. But I was smoking this chicken this morning, and these coals, of course, offer this visual. God's always doing this. I have these hot coals that are working and burning and cooking this chicken. Well, this one coal kind of fell off to the side somehow. And that one coal off to the side was cold. I couldn't even warm up a piece of bread, let alone cook some chicken on it, right? It was done. It was done for. And I was about to throw it out. I said, hold up. Don't throw it out. I threw it in the middle of those hot coals, stirred up a little bit, and that coal ready to cook on real quick. It turned gray real fast, right? Likewise, if you're like that cold coal, you're outside of the fold, outside of the body, you cannot be warm. I don't care. Even if you go out to the body warm, if you go out to the body warm, you're like, I'm on fire. What are you talking about? I'm on fire. I can go outside the body. I'm on fire. That coal eventually goes out because there's no heat source. But when you remain among those hot coals and there still continues to be fuel and oxygen, you continue to stay on fire and stay hot. And even if you get outside of the fold and you go cold a little bit, if you get back inside of those hot coals and stir up a little bit, it's going to reheat you back up. So we cannot forsake the attending together. We cannot. I love church. I love coming here on Sundays, Wednesdays. As a matter of fact, my job at John 3:16 is to have church every single day. I love that I get to do that. I go to 180 Church in the West on Wednesday nights. We have TNT at John 3:16 Thursday nights. There's times I go to the shelter and lead worship. I lead worship here, teach Bible here, teach youth here, all kind of stuff. I love it. I love being among God's people. Singing praises and hearing from him and growing together. But I can tell you, when I do miss, it feels like it's been ages. Like if I go on vacation, let's say, and we don't go to church on a Sunday, man, I miss it. Probably the coolest thing I got to do, I'm trying to close up, but we were in D.C. for that Student Leadership University trip, and we were working in D.C. with the students, myself, Tori, and some other adults, and three students. And it was Sunday morning, and we're going to do church. We did church in the hotel room. Singing praise with a Bluetooth speaker. Gave a short message and we all shared the bread of life together. And I thought to myself, this is fantastic. You can have church anywhere. That's the cool thing. Now, hear me well. It's not your excuse to say, well, I can have church in my house on my TV. No. What I'm saying is we can anywhere, two or more gathered, we can have church. But do not forsake the gathering together ever. Because when you gather together, I don't know if you guys saw it. I didn't even catch it until the last time I watched this video. But whenever Captain America gets on his earpiece and Sam says, on your left, and they start coming up. You see Thanos kind of smiling at first, and then sees all those people coming. He goes, it's like, yeah, he knew he was in trouble. He thought he had him licked, thought he had him whipped, and all of a sudden, here comes all these guys back. And now he's like, dang. It's almost like you can tell, he's like, you know what, I'm accepting defeat. You don't want to show it. He accepted, like, dang. The evil one does the same thing. When all God's people band together, he's like, shoot. They all band together. I watched National Geographic, and, you know, like a wildebeest would be out there injured. You'll see that lion, you'll see some kind of other kind of animal, like, oh, yeah, a wounded one, a sick one. I'm going to get him. And then you'll see these other wildebeest come out of the woodworks whenever they try to attack them, and they throw them in the air, like, 50, I don't know, about 50, that's too high, that's an exaggeration. Maybe like 10 feet in the air, right? So this lion in the air, the lion runs off, like, hey, man, I thought I was going to have an easy snack. I know you had friends. I know you had peoples out here watching your back. Same thing with the evil one. When one of your brothers or sisters is hurting, they're injured, they don't need us to help them be injured more or hurt more. We go and we pick them up. We surround them. We surround them with holy. And we say, hey, you know what? You can try, evil one, but we're all going to be out here moving furniture together, because you're not going to get my brother and my sister. I'm not going to let them go down like that. And sure enough, with the Avengers, those three were wounded, but then here comes Black Panther, Doctor Strange, and a slew of other people, and all of a sudden it's like, dang, thought I had him. Same thing with the evil one, thought he had him. All right, 2-1, we're done. The R, read and obey your Bible. I know there's no O, but we got to put that obey part in there. Read and obey, because that obey part is very, very crucial. Because either read something, but it's like we do with our son Sean. If you read that, now tell me what it said. You comprehend what you just read. Likewise with the Bible. God's like, okay, you read that, and I know you can read, obviously, because you read that, but are you obeying? Do you comprehend what it said? I said, read and obey. Read and obey. Joshua 1:8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Read and obey. Last thing, this is how we're going to be able to be disciples. We're going to be able to follow the plan that God's given to us. The last T, tell. Tell others about him. Jesus did not let, this is Mark 5:19, excuse me. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And I tell my students all the time that you can go and reach people that I can't, because you have a personal relationship with them. I can't go to your schools all the time and tell people about Jesus. I can't drive the white van up to the school and say, hey, kids, get in and come to youth group. That's creepy, number one. Number two, most kids' parents won't let them come. But what y'all can do is y'all can say, hey, come to youth group. Hey, let me tell you about Jesus, because it's not legal for me to do so in this school. Hey, can I pray for you? Hey, will you come to see you at the pole? Y'all can do all that. I gave him an illustration one time. I said, listen, if I walked up to your friends and said, hey, over here at this table in this alley, there is some free iPads, some free Apple Watches, and a free set of AirPods. If you just want to go over there and get that, go ahead and go get that. Your friends would be like, uh-uh, I'm not going over there. I don't know you do. But what if you said, hey, friend, I've been over here. Let me show you what I've gotten from over there. You can go get it too. If my friend ever said, go over this table, you can get this, this, and this. Here it is right here in my hand. I'm going. I'm going to get my free iPad, my free AirPods, my free Apple Watch. Likewise with Jesus. If you tell your friends, hey, Jesus is over here. I've experienced it. Let me show you it in my life. You can go get it too. Your friends will be a lot more apt. Your family, even your enemies, are going to be a lot more apt to say, you know what? Because I've seen it in you, and you've experienced it, and you've shown where to get it from, I'm going to get some of that too. So it's 5 questions. Who? That who is you? Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. That's an understood you in the English language. He's talking to you, me, us, saying you, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. You. Is the who. What? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what you're going to do. You're going to go baptize them. Okay? But how? How am I going to do that? By teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And sure that I'm with you always to the end of the age. So you're going to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And then remember, hey, you're not going by yourself. I'm with you always until the end of the age. That's how. Okay, God, but where? He's going to go back and say, I told you, all nations. That means everybody, every single person in this world was what you've been called to do. All nations. That's where you go. All nations. Whether it's Guatemala, whether it's Guthrie, or whether it's the Greens downtown, God's called you to go. Not to sit there, but to go. Even if it's to go across the hallway to your child's room, across the hallway to your sister's room, across the hallway to your parents' room, you go. You tell your home first, and you go out, you tell others about Jesus. The last question we have to answer is when. The when is now. We have no time to waste. The when is now. The question is, if not you, then who? If not when, then now. So I asked you, have you signed up for the mission trip? Like I said earlier, you signed up for the mission trip the day you said, Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior. I want to follow him. I want to give him my all that I have. I want to live for him, and I want him to live through me. When you did that, you said, I signed up for the mission trip. So my prayer is that you signed up for the mission trip. My prayer is that you want to go forward and do this mission that God's called you to do. Whatever it takes, as the Avengers said. If that means that you got to go and run the snow cone truck for a back-to-school bash, you go do that. If that means that you have to come up here every Sunday and take the trash out and vacuum and clean the bathrooms, you do what God's called you to do. If you have to give of your own money to go pick up a student, go pick up a church member who can't drive, you do that. And don't ask, well, can I get some gas money? No, no, no. Your treasured rewards in heaven. Does that mean you won't get taken care of? No. But it does mean that you do what God's called you to do. I've given rides, given money. I've sacrificed time, energy, and effort. And I would continue to do it, and I will continue to do it because God's called me to do so. Not because I want people to look at me and think, oh, he's so great. I don't want people to ever say that about me. I want them to say, man, I see Jesus, and that's where I want to be, where Jesus is at. I want people to say about New Joy Fellowship is not that we have these flashy lights or these big booming sound systems or this even this awesome preacher, even though we do. What I want them to say is this, Jesus Christ lives here. I want to be here too. They're serving. I want to serve alongside them. Not because I want to get any kind of fame or garner for it, because I want to further the mission of Jesus Christ. So I want to offer this up as an invitation. We have some places in this church that we need people to serve. We have some places in this church that God's calling people to that have not yet to move. We have places in this church that God's telling you, hey, I need to sacrifice some time, energy, effort, maybe even some money, because I need to use you for this place in church. So here's what I'm going to do. I do believe this is the Spirit of God telling me to do this, because this is not something I want to do. Sounds kind of uncomfortable for me, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to ask certain people to come up here and represent needs in this church to serve. And what I want you to do is, number one, pray for these people. Pray for these ones because they're representing a need in the church. But number two, I want you to, if God so moves you, you talk to these people and say, hey, I want to serve where you're serving. God's called me to, and I want to help you and serve where you're serving. So Ashley, if you come up here, Ashley's going to be working with our children. Those kids who are kindergarten through fifth grade, or I guess pre-K to fifth grade. She's going to need some help. There's children's church. There's going to be some children's outings, maybe even camp one day. She's going to need some help. Nicole, if you'll come up here, please. Myself and my wife are going to take on the task of dealing with these unruly teenagers, with the youth. We're going to need help. Need people to drive, help us with transportation, people to cook hot dogs, people to pray for these students, people to give towards youth camp. We need some help. I'm gonna have Miss Doris, if you'd come up here, please, because she helps out in the nursery from time to time. The nursery's gonna need some help. They need some help back there. Matter of fact, we have all these babies you saw dedicated. There's more coming, God willing. There's more coming. We're gonna need some help in the nursery. Maybe you give up a Sunday and say, you know what? I can go sit back there with the kids. I may not be a kids person, but I do not take care of kids, and I can watch out for the kids. They're gonna need help. And there's a slew of other things I'm sure Pastor Forney could tell you that we need help with. We need help with women's ministry, help with men's ministry. Okay? It'd be nice to see an elderly outreach to those who are shut in. It'd be nice to get a food ministry going, or even I can even tell you, I can represent John 3:16. We need help down there, John 3:16, all the time. As a matter of fact, Ms. Charles, why don't you come up here? Ms. Charles can represent John 3:16. Mr. Charles serves in John 3:16 food room. He's a chaplain down there. He gives messages, and he works hard and tirelessly to sort food. I guarantee you he'll take your help on a Monday, Wednesday, or Friday to come down there and move some boxes and to throw some cans. If we can get people to pray for these who are up here, number one, if you'd come forward and pray for these. And number two, if you feel the need or you feel the call or the desire, the drive to come do one of these things, please talk to them. Once again, Ms. Doris in the nursery, Ashley with our children, Tori with our young people, our youth, and Mr. Charles, John 3:16. These are all kind of the ministries we've kind of sewed into right now. If you feel called or feel led to volunteer, come ask one of them about more information about it. Not only that, pray for them on the front lines as they continue to work. So I'm going to pray. As I'm praying, I invite you to come forward to pray over these ministries, and also to come forward and talk to anybody, any one of these ministries you feel called or led to be a part of. So as I'm praying, you come forward and you pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you for allowing us just to be in this place, Father. I thank you for these who represent these ministries. Father God, the nursery, as we are booming and busting at the seams of new babies, new children coming in, Father, we need help. Send us laborers, Father God, for that. Father God, those who have a love and a passion for the young ones, and also the abilities and special talents to raise them up in you. Father God, for our children's department, we thank you so much that it's growing also. Father, we pray you continue to bring us kids. Continue to bring us those, the little ones come to me, as you would say, be able to affect and tell about who you are and grow them up in you, Father. For our youth, Father God, I know a lot of times we say the unruly teenagers, but Father, they're the church of today and tomorrow. Father God, I pray that you bring us youth who are ready to accept the call, to go forth, Father God, and to do what you called them to do. Future worship leaders, future pastors, missionaries, and just laborers, Father God, we pray that you bring them to us. And lastly, Father God, for John 3:16, we thank you that Mr. Charles is there faithfully serving every single week, Father God, and we pray that you bring him help. Bring John 3:16 help as we continue to do the work you call us to do, going to those who are in need. We're praying, Father God, that you would help us and continue to bless us with laborers and volunteers and people who have the same vision and goal as we do. And that's to preach the gospel and that you may be known. Father God, thank you for New Joy Fellowship. I thank you for this church. Praying, Father God, you continue to bring us laborers, continue to bring us people who want to know you and make you known. In your name I pray. Amen.